Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. I am Justin Reed. This is Reading the Word, and I want to thank you for joining us for our third installment. What we're doing is we're continuing our examination of Psalm 119. So I encourage you to take your copy of Scripture. We ended last time at the beginning, or at the end of another section, so we'll start with the third section of Guy Mail. We're studying this in 8-verse increments because that's how it's broken up in accordance to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. 8 verses per each section. So Guy Mail is the third one. It closely resembles our G. If you would, please join me in reading the Word of God, verses 17 through 24 of Psalm 119. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. As we're looking at this passage in Psalm 119 in verse 18. Let's start there. He says, open thou mine eyes. Now in Hebrew, he literally meant reveal something unto me. The psalmist here desires to be spiritually sighted. Spiritually sighted. In 2 Peter chapter 1, after we talked a few weeks ago about giving all diligence at the beginning of this psalm, and we referenced, besides this giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. If you drop down to verse 9, Peter says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins, or from his old sins. Now here Peter's talking about spiritual myopia, M-Y-O-P-I-A, which is basically being nearsighted or nearsightedness. I am nearsighted. I require glasses that require me to be able to see afar off. I can read up close without my glasses on. But if I were to drive and I need to see a street sign, a road sign, or something too far ahead of me, I'm going to need to put my glasses on so I can see. Well, here Peter's talking about you can be spiritually nearsighted if you lack these things. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 28, Paul is, for the second time, recounting his conversion story. He was converted in Acts chapter 9. He retells it in 22, this 22nd chapter, and he retells it in the 26th chapter. And he says that his job, of course, here he's quoting from Christ, from God, he says, my job was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The job of the Apostle Paul was to open the eyes of his pagan peers. And these eyes, they were darkened. And also we see when Paul writes to those in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. He's talking about eyes being enlightened. Here the psalmist wants his eyes to be enlightened. Why? That he may behold the wondrous things that is in God's law. Verse 19, he says, I am a stranger in the earth, and he asks that his commandments not be hidden from him. I'm reminded of the patriarch Abraham. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is what I like to call the hall of fame of faith, of a hall of faith, for sake of too much alliteration there, although I do like a good alliteration. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 10, well, verse 8 talks about Abraham. He was going, and he didn't know where he was going. He sojourned, verse 9, by faith. Verse 10 says, he looked for a city whose foundation, and which hath foundation, whose builder and its maker is God. Peter writes, and Peter talks about us being strangers and pilgrims when he writes his first epistle. Two songs in the songbook we frequently sing. As you know, I like to reference songs in this. One of them is, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. just up in glory land, will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world any more than the refrain, O Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm reminded of that, but I'm also reminded of another song, and that one is Here We Are, But Straying Pilgrims. Here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers. Here our hearts within us say. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. That's true. We are not supposed to be here forever. Now, there are people in this world today who are teaching that we will have a new heaven and a new earth, which is a concept that is foreign. It is not found in the Word of God. And one thing that I can't understand is, why would you want to live here on this earth? I like where I live, but it pales in comparison to where that home that I'm working for, that home in heaven that Jesus Christ right now is preparing for me. And so with that, I pray frequently, come, Lord, quick, come quickly, Lord, if it's thy will. Let's pause here. We'll pick up our study on the other side of this quick little break in verse 22 of Psalm 119.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. We are back with more of Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. I am the minister for the Wood Church of Christ. Thank you for sticking around on the other side of that break as we are studying from Psalm 119. We're going to pick back up in verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. You know, we can be pious, and we can still become victims of inexcusable slander. We can still be religious. We can still be faithful unto God. And yet at the same time, we can still face slander. For instance, I think about Numbers chapter 16. I don't have time to go into this passage and read it in depth. I'd encourage you to do that maybe as a fun afternoon reading. Numbers 16. I think about the story of Moses and Korah and Abiram and Dathan. If you remember, that's where God calls the earth to actually open up and to swallow Korah and his family and those descendants there, because they were going up against Moses, and Moses was innocent in this instance. I think about the book of Job, which once again I don't have time to reference because I'm going to reference the first 37 chapters of this 42-chapter book. But in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Job is being accused of wickedness by Satan himself. And in chapters 3 through 37, Job is being accused of wickedness by his quote-unquote so-called friends Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu. But Job did nothing wrong. And then we see verse 24. Oh, so I want to couple this by saying, keep doing what is right. Keep remaining faithful unto death. When the inspired Apostle John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, fear not, because you may be tried, you may be cast into prison, you may have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, that's not what John thinks. That's by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Keep going. Don't listen to those that are trying to knock you down, keep you out of God's grace, keep you off track. Follow what is right all of the time. As we look at verse 24, the Bible says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors, or Hebrew. Literally, that last word, counselors, means the men of my counsel, or those that I look to for strength, for guidance, for wisdom, and for encouragement. Robert R. Taylor Jr., in his work, Studies in Psalm 119, which I've read twice this year already in preparation to teach this and also for this program, he says, and I quote, what delights a man's heart is usually an accurate index to his character. Those things that delights a man, makes him happy, usually is a good indicator of how he is living his life. And with that, let us continue reading. I don't think we're going to get all the way through the Daleth section, but we're going to do our utmost and best. Daleth, that resembles the number 7. I know you're thinking why I didn't write the Hebrew alphabet, so that's okay. Daleth, verses 25 through 32 of Psalm 119. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, as I mentioned just a second ago, Daleth resembles the 7, the numeral 7. But Daleth is the 4th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And we look at verse 25, and since I just read it, I'm not going to reread it. But the earth can become our God with Jehovah crowded from the scene. Now, Jehovah is the God in heaven. Sometimes we're so focused on things of the world that we forget the God who made the world. Quicken, or quickened. That means to be made alive. Here in our passage, it means to be made alive by the word of God. I think about Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is powerful, able to pierce the dividing sunder. It is quick. We can be made alive by the word of God. Verse 26, as I have declared my ways, thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. He knew that God was not only all-seeing, but also all-hearing. But also, I want you to note this, God is not just a psychiatrist that's sitting beside you in an armchair while you're laying down on a couch. That's not who God is. But God does want to hear the things going on in our lives. Verse 27, we have a two-step process. We must have understanding before we can intelligently speak of God's words. Notice, make me, verse 27, to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He just prayed in the previous verse, teach me thy statutes, and now he wants to understand it. You know, we must know what we're talking about before we can tell others. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He is reading from Isaiah 53. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament book of Isaiah, any at all, you'll realize that in that passage, or in that book, it talks about how eunuchs will one day be welcomed into the fold of God when they weren't in the Old Testament. But Philip walks up and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone explain it to me? So Philip joins him in his chariot, and at that very verse begins to teach him about Jesus, because he's in Isaiah 53, which is the suffering servant passage, a beautiful passage of Scripture, which we don't have time to reference in its entirety. But we must know what we're talking about before we can turn around, before we can reciprocate that and teach it to others. In verse 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy words. Now, melteth there, literally it means droppeth. His soul melteth for heaviness, all the burdens that he is going through. And yet he says, God, aside from all this, I pray for strength from thy word. When we're tired, we need strength from the word. When we're happy, we need strength from the word. When it's a good day, we need strength from the word. And guess what? When it's a bad day, we also need strength from the word. So I encourage you throughout the rest of the day and the rest of your life to read the word of God. I am Justin Reed, the minister for the Wood Church Christ. It's going to conclude it for today. Next week, we'll pick back up on verse 19. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.